Good morning. Welcome to our celebration of Christ the King Sunday. This morning we're going to look at a text in which Paul writes to the Colossians about the image of God. And what we are going to see is the image of a true king. You see, it's interesting when you think about a king, especially in the country we have grown up in, we don't really understand the connotations of that. Because we live in a place where we are really governed by laws for the most part. We don't have a king who is a law unto himself. We don't have a president who can say, "I do not like him. Have him killed." We live in a much different place than what the people did in this day. For if you upset the king in the time of Jesus, or the emperor, he could just have you killed. No questions asked, no repercussions. It just happened. And so, you can see what man thought of as a proper king. And then, when God sent his son, our king, down, what a true king is like. And because God showed us his love and his mercy through our true king, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes, as I said, from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be on things in the earth or things in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this first starts out with Paul talking to the Colossians about how they are to live their lives, bearing fruit of good works. And that's where our text steps in and says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." Now, it's interesting as you read that, because what Paul is asking is that the church would be strengthened. Not of our own self, not out of our strength, but out of God's power. His glorious might, as Paul puts it. So that we would endure. Now, endurance means most of the time that we suffer. Or we have things that go badly in our lives. And we do. We all know that. There are things in our lives that go badly. But Paul is now talking that we would have strength to endure these things, and that we would still have joy. You see, when you know the truth of the gospel and what God has done for us, we understand that we can have joy despite our circumstances. Because our circumstances do not tell us how much God loves us. Our circumstances are just that, our circumstances. We, as we will see later, have a much bigger promise about what and where we are placed. And Paul wants the church to always give thanks to the Father, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share it in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that's a very interesting statement. It doesn't sound like much. But he says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you. And that's the word that really changes things. Because you're not qualified to share as a saint. Because we're all sinners. But it says the Father who has qualified you. Now, if God the Father has made you qualified to be a saint, are you qualified? Yes. And that's the promise that's here. He's made that statement. He's made that qualification. It's not because of your good works. It's not because of any of those things, though you should do them. It is because He has proclaimed it. And now we find out why we don't have to worry about our circumstances. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Our circumstances aren't here. Aren't now. Aren't the troubles we face. Our circumstances and our true being are now transferred into the dominion of God's kingdom, of Jesus Christ, our King's kingdom. And so what we face here on the kingdom of the left hand is just that, temporary circumstances that will pass. Things are going to get better. Again, yesterday, I did a funeral. And they become harder and yet they become easier. Because as we say goodbye to a believer, it is a great, wonderful thing. Because they now see that kingdom that we are transferred into face to face. We catch glimpses of it at times. We kind of understand that, yes, there's something much better than what we live in now. But they see it face to face. Because God has taken care of our sin problem. We want to kind of keep hanging on to it. But what he says in verse 14, after he's already transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, he says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Now again, the forgiveness of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ is for all people. And we have to realize God doesn't forgive like we do. We say we forgive, and we may very well mean it. But the next time that we get hurt, we bring it back up again. Or we at least think about it. But God says that He will remember our sin no more. Now that's a much different forgiveness than mankind. And that's what God sent His Son to do. to take care of that problem. And here's where we get the picture about who God is and who our King is. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now this is the thing. People all the time want to know, well, who's God? I mean, he's just kind of this invisible thing up there. This nebulous. No. You want to know who God is? Find out who Jesus Christ is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. You want to know who God is, you study who Jesus Christ is. This is our King. This is the person whom we in the church follow. And as the firstborn of creation, we'll find out all his powers in a little bit, but this is what Jesus allows for himself. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." He allowed himself to be hung on a cross. You see, mankind would say, well, you're a king. You're the Son, the very image of God Almighty. You should just smoke those people. Kill them all. For heaven's sakes, they're pounding you up on a cross. But not our King. Our King didn't come here to rule. Our King didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. Our King came here to transfer us into his kingdom. And it's not one of the left hand. It's not one of the earth. It's not the one of swords and guns and tanks and nuclear weapons. It is one in which people realize how much God loves them. And they love others in return. It's a whole different set of circumstances. Because a king, if he's truly as powerful as all that, should certainly have not let a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees get him sentenced to death. He shouldn't allow the Roman government to just, yep, okay, well, we'll hang him there, that way there'll be peace. In our mind's eye, we're going, well, if I was king, I would take care of him. Reminds me of a story, and I've used this before, I don't know if in a sermon, but for sure within a Bible study, of some kids I had and was teaching Bible study to, in which I asked them, okay, if you had ultimate power for a day, what would you, or for the rest of your life, what would you do? Well, things get very noble. I'd make sure that people were fed and that people weren't in want and they had proper shelter and all these things. Okay, well, how are you going to pay for this? Well, I suppose we'd have to take some from other people and do this. And I said, okay, that's fine. Well, what if they don't want to give it to you? Well, I would take care of them. They should want it. Well, yeah, but they might not want to give it to you. Well, I suppose we'd have to somehow take it. Well, I mean, you can't just walk into their house. They may have a knife or a gun or something. Well, and I guess, you know, I still, we got to take care of this whole thing. And I had three or four very boisterous young men that were just, they were fired up on this thing. They're going to take care of all these poor people out there. And we're going to take all that stuff from them evil people over here. And I looked at them and I said, so what if they really oppose you to the point that they were ready to die for what they had? Well, I guess I'd just have to kill them. And I said, there's the problem. Our idea of being king always comes down to power. God's does too. But he doesn't call for someone else's death. He calls for his own. You see, the true king serves, not himself or his wants, needs, and desires. But the true king, the true image of the invisible God, serves us. And this is much different than what we would do. And we'll find out how much that man, how much power that man had who was on the cross. Because that's what verse 16 brings us to. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Now, does that leave anything out under Jesus Christ's reign? There's nothing. There's nothing that he does not control and does not have power over. And this is the thing we need to remember as the church. That's the king we serve. We think somehow the world is going to overcome his kingdom. Well, that's kind of silly, actually, if you think about it. The world was created for him and by him. Do you think it's going to overcome him? That's silly. And yet we always worry about what's going on out there. Somehow the world is going to overcome us. It can't. It's impossible. Because Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's time we started to live in the victory that happened on that cross when Jesus hung there. Sin and death and the devil were taken care of at that point in time. We talked about this again in adult Bible study, that we would start to live in this victory, to start to know that we are a part and joined to Jesus Christ. Sin cannot separate us from God. It's been taken care of. It's been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And he's our head. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in that in everything he might be preeminent. All that means is he's above anything. All those things that we think are going to take us over or are going to harm us or are going to destroy the church is not going to happen. Because Christ is preeminent over all this creation. And so our circumstances do not carry much weight here. We are in the kingdom of heaven. We are in the kingdom of God's Son. And that's where our true identity and our beings are held. And so, as he says in the beginning of this whole text, now I got to go back, that we would have endurance, that we would understand that this is just temporary. That in the end of all of this, God will take care of us. Because the fullness of God was in the person of Jesus Christ. Do we really understand that? That's what verse 19 says. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God Himself was pleased to be a human being. To join Himself to us. That is one of the most fabulous things in the world. It's not bad to be a human being. Jesus Christ was. And the fullness of God was with Him. We are some of the most blessed. We are the most blessed creature created. God is one of us. The fullness of God is in the person of Jesus Christ, our King. And He has transferred us to His kingdom. And through him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. We want to think somehow we're still in this fight with God, or God's in a fight with us. He's not, and we're not. He has reconciled Himself to all things on earth and in heaven. There's no longer any partition between us and God. Hence, we can boldly go before Him and talk to Him as a child would his father. This is not a kingdom like you see described in the old books, where you had the king sitting up here and you had to go through all the little court people in order to address the king. The king says, come to me. Lay your burdens down and I will take care of you. Understand, I have taken care of you. It's not a kingdom that by some act of war is going to be destroyed. It can't be. The creation cannot destroy the Creator. And now our calling is to believe that all these things are true for us, that indeed we have been reconciled by the blood of His cross, both as a people and as individuals. And to understand that nothing can prevail against this. And that all things are under His control. This is the thing that we as the church, I think, one of the reasons that we sometimes seem powerless. Because we forget it. We start to think, well, things are so bad out there, I don't know if we can do anything. People might not listen to us. God is perfectly capable of being heard. And He chooses to work through us. He chooses to work through human beings, just like He worked through His Son, who was a human being, and washed away the sin of the world by His blood. Our King is all powerful. And we have been joined to Him. And this is a promise that we have. On Christ the King Sunday, we celebrate the victory our King had over everything and continues to have. And we realize that even hell cannot overcome His kingdom. It cannot happen. And we are His. He has claimed us. We have been reconciled to Him. and He has demonstrated His love for us so that we can go out and demonstrate and tell people of His love for them. Don't be scared of the world. Don't be scared of anything out there. You serve the most powerful being in the world. And as a matter of fact, He has taken up residence within you and you in Him. You cannot be overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.